Hey guys, welcome to Sandals Church, and I'm so glad you're here because here we are all about this vision of being real. And one of the best ways to see this vision come to life in your life is by joining a group. So right now, if you're not in a group, get in a group. You can go to move.sc/groups to see where groups are meeting and how you can join one or even start one yourself. And if you're a teenager, junior high through high school, and you're not in a group and there's a campus around, man, make sure to check out Wednesday nights because there are groups for you too. So again, go to move.sc/groups if you want to see this vision of being real taken to a whole other level. And thanks for joining us today. And man, I hope that you're going to enjoy the service.
We're more free than ever to pursue our desires and create the life we've always dreamed of. But life is still full of hard choices. Were we ever supposed to figure this all out for ourselves?
What do you really want?
Live your truth.
Chase your dreams. Is this okay? Follow your heart. Follow your heart.
What do you really want?
Live your truth. Do this for you.
Chase your dreams.
Chase your dreams.
Do this for you.
Do this for you.
Isn't it your turn to be happy?
Live your truth. Isn't it your
Follow
turn to
your
be
heart.
Happy? Isn't it your turn
Is this
to be
okay?
happy?
Now
what?
What
do you really
Now what?
Does it even matter?
Does it even matter?
What will we choose?
Welcome, Sandals Church, man. Super glad you guys are here. Man, for about a year, I've had a series just stirring inside me. And I believe this is going to be one of the most important series we've gone through as a church. You know, a lot of times we get uncomfortable when we talk about God. When I was a kid, I was super uncomfortable, you know, talking to people about God. So I went through some training. And this is how they taught us to talk to people about God. This was the opening line. You would say, if you died tonight, do you know where you would go? Like, can you imagine if you're in the elevator and some dude's like, if you died right now? I'm like, okay, I'm not going to your church and I'm calling the cops. Let me just ask you this question. I got a better question for where you're going when you die. How are you going to live? How are you going to live? You see, here's the reality. Last year, the number one show for young people was a show called 13 Reasons Why. It's a show about why a teenager found life unlivable and left a video. Young people are saying today, I don't like life. I don't want this life. And there's a direct correlation between our country's rejection of God's direction and our young people feeling disillusioned with life. This isn't 13 reasons why you shouldn't live. This is 10 reasons why you need God, and He'll give you the reason for living. I want you to pray about neighbors, friends, family members that desperately need a reason for God. And I want you to bring them to this series because I'm going to give you 10 reasons why God loves you so much. 10 things that God's given you that will transform and change your life. Basic, simple directions, not to save your soul, but to save your life, to redirect your life, to change your life, to transform your life. Because the world is saying God doesn't know what He's doing when the reality is we don't know what we're doing. And our kids are dying because we've lied. So let's pray together and ask God to speak to us today as we look at the first reason everybody needs God. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that You would speak to us. God, that You would inspire us, Lord. Teach us why our friends, our family members, our kids, Lord, our neighbors, our coworkers, why we all need God. God, why atheists need God. Why people who've fallen away from the church need God. Why I right now, listening to this message, need You so desperately. God, speak to us, we pray, in Christ's name, amen. Now, if you're married, you know this happens, right? You'll be driving in the car, and your wife will just randomly, she doesn't prepare you for it, just randomly asks, what are you thinking? Now, we lie. Sometimes we lie, right, guys? And we say nothing, but sometimes it's something, but we don't want to tell you what it is. Because it's dark, it's bad, it's wrong. We shouldn't be thinking it. Here's the number one reason you need God. Write it down. Only God knows how to call out our inner desires. Let me just ask you this question. Where would you be if you lived out every desire you've ever had? You would not be here. You would be in prison. Amen. You would be locked up and dangerous if you followed every desire. Here's why we need God. The world says follow your heart. God says follow me. follow me. They lead in completely different directions. And yet we're telling people, follow your heart, follow your heart. Well, what happens when your heart runs out? What happened when your heart loses out, gives up, gets hurt, gets squashed, gets destroyed? Then what do? You give up. Only God calls out our inner desires. Jesus has a conversation with a guy who wants to talk about heaven, wants to talk about eternity. And I want you to notice how Jesus shifts the conversation from, if you died tonight, where would you go, to this, how are you gonna live today? What are you gonna do with your life today? You see, a lot of us are so focused on heaven, we're not any good on earth. And God wants to change the way you're living today. Once a religious leader asked Jesus the question, good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Now, let's give him credit. At least he's asking the question. Everybody today thinks they're going to heaven. I've never done a funeral where like, yep, he's in hell. Feel the heat? Nobody says that, okay? Nobody says that. He says, why do you call me good? Jesus asked him. Underline this. Only God is good. Life is not good. The next time you see a VW bus, you know, 1960s with a sticker on it, life is good, put your sticker on there. Liar! Right? It's good sometimes, God's good all the time. Jesus says, but to answer your question, you know the commandments. Now I want you to imagine a scenario this week where you're robbed and a person puts a gun up next to your head and says, tell me the Ten Commandments or give me your purse, which is weird if you're a guy and you have a purse, but you're still welcome in sandals. We're glad you're here. But just go with me for this story. Tell me the Ten Commandments or give me your purse. How many of you are getting robbed? You're like, what is this, Jeopardy? No, it's life. What are the Ten Commandments? Nobody knows them anymore, and yet there are organizations that try to get them removed from every aspect of America. If they don't matter, why do they matter? And here's why. People that don't believe in God know more about the Ten Commandments than people who do believe in God, because what they understand is it's a roadmap for living. It's direction. Jesus says, you know the commandments. Do you know the commandments? Do your kids know the commandments? Do you know the commandments? They're not the pray about it. They're the commandments. You must not commit adultery. Okay, that doesn't mean you're an awesome adult. We'll get into that one. You must not murder. For some of you, your weekend plans just changed. You're like, oh, I was gonna kill that guy, but I'll see what happens. You must not steal. Anybody ever been robbed? Isn't that a great feeling? Man, my daughter's car got broken into in front of her house. In front of her house. My house. Our house. Broken into. You know what I said to her? Welcome to life. My name's Captain Encouragement. All right? It just feels terrible. It feels terrible. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You know what that means? Don't lie. Don't lie. Honor your father and mother. The man replied, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. Did you notice not all 10 commandments are mentioned? He's like, yeah, got it. Understand it. I've been doing that since I was a kid. I'm good. Let's get on to the meat, Pastor. Let's get into the deep stuff. Let's talk about the real stuff. I've obeyed all this stuff since I was young. When Jesus, underlined this, heard his answer. You see, don't ever be fake with God. You can't do it. When he heard his answer, he said, there's still one thing you haven't done. You're missing one thing. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. And you'll have treasure in heaven. You want to talk about heaven? Let's talk about heaven. Sell everything you have and then come and follow me. But when the man heard this, he became very sad. For he was very rich. You see, there's one thing that God knows about you that's true of every human being. To be human is to be insecure. And so what we do to try to mask our insecurity is we dress it up with fancy clothes, fancy jewelry, fancy cars, and fancy houses. But beneath all of that is a person that's afraid they're not good enough. And so what we do is it's not enough to cover ourselves, to clothe ourselves, to change the way we drive, and to change where we live. We compare ourselves constantly with where everyone else is. And instead of looking at God, we look at each other. A lot of people say this. They hate religion because people are killed in the name of God. I want you to know, no one's ever been killed in the name of God. They're killed in the name of coveting. I want what you have, and I'm going to take it. And that's what James says. James says, why do you fight? Why do you quarrel? It's because you want what each other has, and so you go after it, and you do everything you can to get it. Some of you are like, well, I don't even know what coveting is. Write this down. Coveting is the inner desire for what others have. Isn't it amazing what we can covet? Like, ladies, I'm going to talk to you for a second. Never in a man's life does he look at another man and go, I wish I had those legs. Never in a gym, right? Guys, we don't even work out our legs. Amen? We got two sticks, but look at this chest. Look at this. Look at this. Right, lady? Look at her legs. If I had legs like that, I could wear the pants that I want. And if I wore the pants that I want, I'd marry the man that I want. And if I married the man that I want, then I would live the life that I want. And it's all because of my legs. Isn't it amazing? And then you hate women with great legs. You're like, look at her. She's probably going to hell. She's walking right to hell with those great legs. Coveting's a desire for what others have. And what's amazing is that we all covet weird things. Right, guys? We go to a car show. What? To look at cars we can't afford. That's helpful. Here's another vehicle I'll never own. Isn't it amazing? We're going to be in the King James for the next couple of weeks because the King James is the way everybody knows it. And just in a second, you'll get a kick out of why maybe I picked it. The King James Version says, thou shalt, I don't know how you shout, but pray about it. Maybe I'm shouting right now. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Write in the word for covet, envy or jealousy. It's wanting something, it's wishing you had it, and believing that if you had it, you would be happy. You would no longer be insecure. You see, Jesus, the reason I can't let go all of my stuff is because if I let go all of my stuff, then there's nothing exceptional about me. And here's what's so sad. Everything that Jesus wants and everything that God finds exceptional about the rich young ruler had nothing to do with him being rich or a ruler. It had to do with him being a creation of God. You see, what coveting is coveting is putting on the emphasis and the importance on all the things that don't matter. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Some of you go to a small group, you go to somebody's house, you're like, oh, must be nice. Must be nice. What do you guys sell, crack? What's going on here? It's a crack house for Christ? What is this? And you're all judgmental. I bet they don't tithe. I bet they didn't give the momentum. I know where the momentum went. Right here. Right here. Look at that TV. Look at that TV. Man, I bet people who watch the Super Bowl at the Super Bowl wish they watched it on this TV. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Neighbor. Nor his manservant, which is a little weird. I've never had a neighbor with a manservant. My wife wishes she had a manservant. We hire that out. Nor a maidservant. My house would be clean if my husband made enough money for me to hire a maidservant. Nor his ox, right? Now you know why I picked the King James, nor his ass. Yeah, he must work out. Some of you are like, well, I don't care about their house. I don't care about their spouse. I don't care about, you know, the cars they drive. And you're like, I don't covet. And so God knows you. And so he says this, nor anything, nor anything. Gotcha. Boom. Gotcha. Maybe it's your neighbor's vacation. Maybe it's your neighbor's job. Maybe it's your neighbor's life. Maybe it's their kids. I don't know why my kids don't do that. You look at your neighbor's kids, look at your kids, like, what happened? It's your DNA. That's what happened. Coveting is an inner desire for what others have. And the reality is we all covet, all of us, all the time. Sometime we covet somebody else's ability, somebody else's giftedness. We wish we were somebody else. I don't know about you, but I don't listen to music. I imagine myself singing it. Boom. Does anybody do that in the car? Just think about yourself, imagining people worshiping you as you sing. Right? I don't want to listen to Prince. I want to be the Prince. Let me tell you what coveting costs you. And this is why you need God. You see, a lot of people think about the law. Well, I'm not under the law. Well, you pray about which one you don't have to follow. Let me tell you what the law is. The law is rules for life. Let me tell you why you shouldn't pray about the law. You shouldn't pray about red lights. Lord, let me know if I'm supposed to stop. Because you know what happens if you blow through a red light? You might die. And this is what's happening to our world. We don't think we need God. We don't think we need rules. We can make up our own rules, our own life. And guess what's happening? Everybody's miserable. Coveting costs me relationships. Relationships. When you put stuff over people, guess what you lose? People. Relationships with people I need. Oftentimes we covet things people have, and instead of coveting what they have, we need to learn what they've done. Maybe they're smarter than you. Do you ever think about that? Maybe they're smarter. Anybody ever been jealous? Why am I not smart? Why can't I be a doctor? Because if you're a doctor, we might all die. Aren't you glad smart people are doctors? Can you imagine you go to Kaiser and it's just a bunch of dumb people and you're like, what's wrong? They're like, we don't know. We don't know. We just wear the robes. We don't know. All the smart people are somewhere else. Thank God they're smart. Thank God people understand chemistry. Thank God people can do math. Thank God people can invent things. You're like, why couldn't I invent that? I don't know, but thank God somebody did. Thank God. Why don't I have that brain? Why don't I have that vacation? Why don't I have, you know, this or that? And we constantly compare ourselves, and oftentimes we're so jealous of the people that have more than us, oftentimes we miss out on those people. Isn't it amazing how many friends covet each other and are jealous of one another? Isn't it amazing? It is. I was getting some juiced up this week and I was listening to a bunch of teenage girls talk about each other. Oh yeah, she totally wants to be you. Oh my gosh, she just wears everything that you wear. Oh my gosh. And I'm like, you know what? We don't change as we get older. We're not honest. Like, oh, you look nice. And our minds were like, I was going to buy that. Relationships with the people that we need. It says this, the people in the camp were jealous of Moses. Moses. They're jealous of Moses. Why do you get to do the Ten Commandments? Why wasn't I asked? Why didn't I get to go to the mountain? That's not fair. Man, God didn't invite me. Why aren't you just grateful that Moses brought the law so we can all live? They were jealous of Moses and Aaron. Well, I get Moses. He's Moses. What about Aaron? He's only there because they're related. That's not fair. What about Moses? What about Aaron? Listen to this, Mark 15:5. Pilate, a sinner, the guy who crucified Christ, the Bible says he realized that the leading priests arrested Jesus out of what? Envy. Envy will make you do crazy things. Stupid things. And I don't like to get political, but let me just be real. A lot of what goes on in Washington, D.C. has nothing to do with policy and everything to do with envy. Anybody notice all these people that have been so against Trump are all now running? Shocker. It's not fair. He's yellow. Nobody should have hair like that and be president. They come up with all kinds of reasons. It's ridiculous. Isn't it amazing what envy will make us do? It'll make us insane. Absolutely insane. Okay, whether you agree with the president or not, when he stands and says, children who have been born, deserve to live and only half stand and clap, that's a problem. Stand up and say he's an idiot, but I think kids who are born should live. That's what envy can make you do. Envy is like, no, they should die. It's crazy. And that's our world. That's our world. We're envious and jealous. And here's the problem in our world today. We get to see what everybody else has. See, about 50 years ago in America, you didn't know you were poor because you hung out with poor people. And now all of a sudden there's television, there's internet, there's your phone. You're like, oh my gosh, I'll never go there. I'll never do that. Now I hate my life. It says this, but when some of the Jews saw the crowds, they were jealous. I want you to be popular, just not as popular as me. I want you to be smart, just not as smart as me. I want you to be beautiful, just not as pretty as me. You know your place. Right? When they saw the crowds, they were jealous, and so they slandered Paul, and they argued against whatever he said. I mean, it sounds like our news stations, doesn't it? Pick one. It's not the truth that drives many of us to do things. It's envy. Proverbs 15:27 says this, greed brings grief to the whole family. Do you know even when you're married, you can be covetous of gifts your spouse has? Even within the context of marriage, I love you just as long as you're not as good as me. Do you know that couples have a hard time sometimes when one starts making more money than the other? It's okay when they make the same, but when one gets elevated, the other one feels slighted. Do you know why? Insecurity. Isn't that sad? The two have become one flesh, and yet even in one flesh, they're jealous and they're envious of one another. It's easy. When my kids were little, they didn't like me. They want mom. Literally. If I was babysitting, it's like, this Friday night, we're going to watch movies, we're going to eat ice cream. They're like, where's mom? Where's mom? We don't want you. Where's mom? Right? And I would get my hurt feelings. Why don't they like me? My wife's like, well, I'm like, okay, I wasn't really asking. Greed brings grief to the whole family. Do you know I've watched senior citizens who are children still fighting over what they got when they were 5 and 10? I'm like, you're 70! You're 70. You're gonna die soon. Figure this out. Seriously, I've done counseling with people literally in their 80s talking about what happened when they were 10. Greed brings grief to the whole family. The whole family. Coveting, you know, though, write this down, is the most common sin, but it's the least confessed. When have you ever had a friend say, I'm sorry I did that, I was just jealous? I'm sorry it wasn't nice. It's hard for me to look at the life you live. It's hard for me to celebrate you when you have nicer clothes than me. You drive a nicer car than me. You go to better places than me. It's hard for me to love you because what I really want is to have the same things as you. And I'm sorry. Do you know what's easier than confessing coveting? It's easier to kill Jesus. It's easier to kill somebody than it is to confess, I'm jealous of you. I don't understand why I didn't win the lottery. I don't understand why I didn't, you know, get whatever it is that they have. Coveting is the most common sin, but it's the least confessed. And let me just ask you this question. Have you ever confessed to somebody, I'm sorry, I was just envious. I was just jealous. I was coveting your life, your blessings. Do you know what James says? This is not in your notes, this is free. James says that envy and jealousy comes from the devil. Years ago when we first started Sandals Church, God gave me the vision to plant 500 churches, and so we started another church. And when we started this other church, we had a group of individuals come together to pray for this pastor. This is a true story. And one of the ladies that was in our church decided to do something, didn't talk to me, because if she asked me, I'd have said no. But she decided that in the middle of this prayer service, she was going to wash my feet. And if you don't know what that is, it's just awkward. They're just like, I'm going to ask Jesus about that one. Really? Have you seen my feet, Lord? They're gross. So she's washing my feet. It's awkward. It's weird. And one of the pastors who started our first Sandals Church plant says this out loud. I want somebody to wash my feet. I thought it was weird that she was washing my feet. I thought it was way more weird that he said out loud, I want someone to wash my feet publicly in an awkward manner. This guy was consumed with comparison, consumed with jealousy. Do you know that that Sandals Church failed? His marriage failed, and his commitment to fidelity to his wife failed. And this is why, when you constantly covet what others have, you're never happy with what you have. So he lost his church, he lost his wife, he lost his kids, he lost his career, all because when he saw somebody else being blessed, he said, why not me? And I'm like, why me? This is weird. Stop, wash his feet. Wash his feet. This is weird. It was weird. I didn't know what was going to happen. Can you imagine if I just met you in the lobby? I'm like. And you can't say no because like Jesus said to do it. You're like, oh, okay. You know what it does though? Coveting robs us. It robs us of the enjoyment of the things I have. Like if you're single, you feel great until you go to a wedding. And you're like, my life's terrible. My life's terrible. Why can't I fight with someone for the rest of my life? Right? Why can't I be a prisoner to little children? Why can't my days be consumed with poop and boogers? That's what it is. Nobody tells you that, but that's what it is. That's what coveting does. When you look at what someone else's have, you know what? You don't like what you have. Do you know why the rich young ruler couldn't let go of things? Because he spent his whole life watching people covet what he has. And so if he lets it go, then what are people gonna covet about me? Then all I'll have is me. And Jesus is like, exactly. Come on. Come on. Next, coveting will rob me of my purpose for living. Do you know why kids are so miserable today? Stuff does not make you happy. Every kid today has a more powerful computer than those dudes in the 60s who flew to the moon. And they're like, my life's terrible. It's terrible. And they can access more movies than I could ever imagine watching in a lifetime. They got more movies on their phone than they had in a video store when I was a kid. More movies on your phone than in the whole store. My life's boring. Stuff doesn't make you happy. What happens is we've given kids stuff and we've taken their purpose. They've lost their purpose. They have no purpose. That's why they don't want to work. They want to make money. They look at your life. They're like, I don't want that life. You got a bunch of stuff and you hate your life. Why do I want to work for that? It's because they've lost their meaning. We don't work for things. We work for God. We work for God, so we have something to give to God, and we have something to share with each other. That's meaning. But when we live for ourselves, when we live only to clothe ourselves, when we live only to take care of ourselves, guess what happens? We sell ourselves short. What does Jesus say? Give it all away. Don't worry about it. Come follow me. I'm broke too. The guy's like, I can't do it. Solomon, who's considered the wisest Jewish philosopher of all time, said these words. I observe that most people are motivated to success because they envy their neighbors. But this too is meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. Look, we're all trying to live lives we can't afford. As Americans, we can't afford what we have now. Our state is broke, our cities are broke, our people are broke, our nation is broke. But we keep saying we should, we should, we should. We've bought all those things and we're miserable. Stop chasing the wind and start chasing God. Jesus said this, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. It's not measured. You're not more important because the money you make, the car you have, the house you live in, or even the person you're married to. You're important because you're created in the image of God. You were made to be loved by God and to be known by God, not to be covered in stuff that keeps you from God. First Timothy 6:6 says this, true godliness with contentment itself is great wealth. It's not stuff that makes us happy. It's godliness. It's godliness. The problem is, we keep comparing ourselves. Or maybe God gives us a little blessing and we want more of a blessing. Quit believing something new is going to make you happy, because the only thing that needs to become new is you. It's so amazing how we just know if I get this thing, then I'll be happy. If I get this new dress, this new job, this new car, this new house, this new vacation, I just know then I'll be happy. And when we get there, what are we doing? We're on the internet planning our next thing because that thing didn't work. Man, I got an almost brand new car, a 2018 car. Man, it's like a spaceship. It's not just like a spaceship, it's like a second wife. When I get out of a lane, it's like, hey, honey, my car said that. Honey, and she has an Australian voice. You know, you're driving poorly, Pastor Matt. I'm like, oh, I love my car. But you know what? My daughter wrecked my car, so I had to go in the shop. And my friend loaned me his Infiniti. Doesn't that just sound better than your car? Infiniti. What do you drive? Not that. So I drive his Infiniti. It has zero gravity seats. The second you sit in it, your butt is like, oh. I kid you not, my wife got in the car. I didn't even say anything. I just watched her. She sat down, she was like, oh. Then I get my car back from the shop. I sit in it. Now I'm coveting my neighbor's ass. Right? They get to sit in an Infiniti. I'm sitting on a horse's saddle. What's the matter, Subaru? You guys can't have technology for the seat? I'm gonna send a strongly worded email. I just know if I could sit in an Infiniti seat every day, I would preach so much better, Lord. Isn't it amazing how we can convince ourselves? No, true godliness with contentment itself is great gain. Great gain. Look, Paul said it best. Let's jump all the way back up. He said, not that I was ever in need. This is Philippians 4:11-13. For I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. What? Apparently, Paul did not drive an Infiniti. For I have learned, circle that word, learned. That's part of what it means to be a Christian, learning to live life differently. I've learned to be content with whatever I have. Some of you are like, well, I'd like to have a car. He says this, I've learned to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation. He says, just get married. No. Just get a condo. No. Just downsize. No. Listen to what he says. Whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, he says this, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. That verse doesn't have anything to do with running a marathon or lifting weights or getting in shape or losing weight. It has to do with this. Happiness is a choice. And if I choose Christ, I can be happy no matter what I have. Do you know that the Apostle Paul wrote those words on the floor of a prison cell? I can do anything. Last point, and this is huge. God doesn't want to give you more of what you have. He wants to bless what you have. Look, I don't know how much money you have. Do you want it blessed? I don't know how many kids you have. Do you want them blessed? I don't know if you're married or not, but do you want your relationships blessed? I don't know whether you have a job or not, but do you want it blessed? If you want your life blessed by God, then you got to be obedient to God. And here's the thing. Here's the lie. We've told people, you don't need structure. You don't need direction. Be whatever you want. And a generation of kids is lost. Lost. The Ten Commandments is like In-N-Out Burger. Praise God. You want a one, two, or three? The world is like Cheesecake Factory. Man, if you buy me a gift card, I'm not going. I'm giving that away. I'm going to re-gift that. Putting a person with ADD and a Cheesecake Factory menu is torture. It's not a menu, people. It's a Bible. Some of you are like, I can't afford Cheesecake Factory, so I've never been there. And now I'm coveting you going to Cheesecake Factory and being confused and delusioned. You want your life blessed? Make it simple. The next 10 weeks, we're going to talk about how to simplify your life. God's going to bless your life. Listen to what God says. Now listen today. I am giving you a choice between life and death. This is huge. He's not talking about eternity. He's talking about today. He's saying you don't have to be miserable anymore. You don't have to live a pointless life anymore. You don't have to live for anyone else but me. Now listen today. I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity. Circle that word. Prosperity and disaster. This is a true story. I'm not proud of it. This is how I asked Tammy to marry me. Are you ready to be poor for the rest of your life? I kid you not. That's what I said. This is not a good moment. Guys, do not do that. You'll never see that on the episode of The Bachelor. Right? This is how prosperity works. You know what prosperity is? It's stairs. Anybody ever climb stairs? It's painful. You're like, why did I do this? This hurts. Prosperity is stairs, following God's commands every day, working through the hardships, not paying attention to anybody else. Do you know what disaster is? Disaster is the elevator. You can go straight down. And here's the thing. Some of you, you've been living for God, and you've been looking over your shoulder. You've been coveting. You're ready to give up on God, and you've climbed your whole life. All it takes is one decision and one button, and you'll drop. And you'll lose your marriage, your career, your life, and everything you've worked so hard for because you took your eyes off God. He says, for I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you. Here's the promise. God wants to bless you. But for him to bless you, you've got to follow his commands. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you were drawn away to serve and worship other gods, other things. And here's what a God is. If I have that, I'll be happy. You'll be drawn away to serve other gods. Then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. Nobody will write the real 13 reasons why kids are giving up on life in their teenage years at rates that are unprecedented. You know why? It's we've told him, there's no God. We're just floating on this rock called Earth and we don't know why. You're just an animal. There's no difference between you and the things you see at the zoo. And God says there's a big difference because you are my special creation. And I made you not to be ruled by your desires, but to rule over them. And I'm going to give you 10 principles that will change your life. Underline these last words. This is the key to your life. This is the key. Look, happiness is not a feeling. It's obedience. It's a choice. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to trust God. Look, all of us every single day are that rich young ruler, and we're saying these flashing things are God. Every single day we have this conversation with Jesus. Every morning when we wake up, every day when we go to work, every day when we look at our spouse, when we look at our kids, when we look at the world, when we look at the news, every single day we're the rich young ruler, and we're deciding things or God. Every single day. And unfortunately, many of us, like the rich young ruler, leave Jesus for a bunch of junk. And Jesus says how hard it is for the rich to inherit the kingdom of God. Do you know what he's saying? The more crap you have, the harder it is to follow me. So start dropping stuff and start following Jesus. Listen to me, if you're not a Christian, God loves you. You are not an accident. He created you for a purpose, and your purpose is to know him and be loved by him. And one of the ways God loves you is through his law. It will not save your soul. That's what Jesus does. But it will save your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. God, I pray right now in this moment we would be real. God, the truth is each and every one of us covet almost every single day somebody else's life, somebody else's job, somebody else's vacation, somebody else's looks, somebody else's intelligence. Every single day, God, we want to be somebody, anybody but us in some situation. And God, what we're saying is you made us wrong. And God, we confess that to you right now. You're never wrong. You're always right. You made us to be who we're called to be. God, the way we look, the way we think, all of those things were designed by you to bring us to the point of obedience where we could know you. Everything about us is intricately made, uniquely made to draw us to you. God, help us to repent of wanting to be anybody else. And God, right now, we say before you, we're not going to waste any more time. We're going to be exactly who you've called us to be. God, I'm sorry for wanting to be someone else. God, help me to be the best person I can be, and help us all to pray the same. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.